got a scheme that I'm scheming. I want a coupon and gleaming. I'm living too fast with these demons. I gonna try like Adidas. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. I got a chill like Vegeta's. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. All my money looking grown now. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Used to look just like a fetus. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Never should know. Crocodile tears on no hold. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. Never get low. On your loans, we don't run. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. Shawty being warm when the music, so I don't wanna spin like a new jack. Sitting on my brain on night mode, just try to hit it with a high note. Feeling like a highlight, real low, really no time for the timeouts. Hit you with a two-piece, beat, 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 cause I don't do no violence. Said she wanna freak with me, cause you see I'm a G and a pilot. Whole lot of weed in the loud, cause you know that we don't do no silence. Can you catch my vibe? I'm gonna track like Adidas. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. I gotta chill like Vegeta. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. All my money looking grown now. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Used to look just like a fetus. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Never should know. Crocodile tears on no hold. No, we don't do that. I knocked on the air mattress like I'm loaded now. Everybody shook when they look any funny how they notice now. Guess I ain't bogus now, cause I got focus, focus sound. Think about all the times that I was feeling broken down. Now I'm breaking down. I'm on the track like Adidas. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. I got a chick like Vegeta's. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. All my money looking grown now. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Used to look just like a fetus. Yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it. Never should know. Crocodile tears on no hold. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. Never get low. On your loans, we don't run. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. Never should know. Crocodile tears on no hold. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. Never get low. On your loans, we don't run. No, we don't do that, no, we don't do that. No.
You're on Off the Beaten Path this morning. Listen, we do this every Thursday. 7 to 8, you're tuned in with your host, Issa Arian. And I thank you. Listen, it's great. It's a wonderful Thursday to wake up to. Not only is it a wonderful Thursday, it is the fourth Thursday in the month of February. I don't know, you know, normally February's 28 days, you don't really get, maybe you always get four Thursdays. I don't know. I didn't do the math on this, but listen, this is a leap year, so you got an extra day. You got an extra day of February, and you got an extra day of me today. Welcome. First, we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh Nation's territories here live from Pacific Spirit Park on the most western part of the peninsula. Here from UBC's campus, from CITR, thank you for joining in. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR if you like to read. Listen, I got a great show for you today. First off, I'd like to give myself a pat on the back for showing up today because I woke up late. You know, and sometimes that happens. You ever wake up and you look at the clock and you are just freaking out? Like, you ever look at the clock and you're like, you don't even have to look at the clock to know that you're late. Like, you just wake up with this feeling, this intense feeling. It's indescribable. Well, first off, these are the first words that I have said all morning. Usually, I get up and I start talking to myself. Maybe I'll call my grandmother, or maybe I, you know, just do something in the morning that really gets me in the mood. But no, this one was me running for the bus. Like, I had to catch it at the next bus stop. It was intense. This is a community, and this is a community, and so that means that you must put in your work. And listen, and I come in and I put my work in. You know, I make it happen. I do my best, at least. But anyways, whether I woke up late or I woke up early, I got here on time. Listen, you're on time as well. Whether you're getting ready with your kids, or maybe you're by yourself, or maybe you're at work right now and you're like, you know what? I need a break from my job. Or maybe you don't need a break from your job and this helps you, you know, just keep going through your day. Or maybe you're like, you know what? East has helped me get through some weekends on some. Listen, I didn't know. So, like, you know how, you know, I go through my spiel and I'm like, this can help you, you know, be more interesting as you go into the weekend. You know, maybe you might find out something you didn't know on the show and something that you needed to talk about with your partner. Or maybe this is, you know, this is a new date and you're like, you know, I got to figure it out. Like, first off, I didn't know. Like, I mean, I assume that I'm actually, you know, that people listen and find interesting information. But one thing I didn't know is just like how many dates people go on. Like, I have a friend and they were talking about just like how many Tinder dates they had been on last week or Bumble or Hinge or whatever people are using nowadays. And I was kind of, I don't want to say taken aback, but I was flabbergasted, you know, just thinking about like, man, imagine, like, you know what a date is like, you know, when you go on and for the first like few dates, you're like not even a real person. Like you are a real person. Like you're you, but you know, you're like introducing somebody to like a new person to you. And you're also, you know, meeting a new person and you guys are, you know, when you watch it in the wild, you're like, man, that looks like an uncomfortable situation. And then to be in it, you're like, damn, that's really uncomfortable. Anyways, an icebreaker is usually talking about something. I'm interesting. I don't know where this is going. I just didn't know that people were going on that many dates. That was really my only point. Just, I would find that very stressful. So if you listen to the show and you're like, you know what? That's me. And thank you for providing some interesting talking points, because you should be taking notes. You know, you should definitely be taking notes while you listen to Off the Beaten Path, because listen, we got some good stuff for you. And not only, maybe you don't even date anymore. Maybe you're just in a marriage and you're like, you know what? We need to bring the love back. Listen, I promise you, we'll talk about something on here that everybody knows the right answer to. You know what I mean? And if they don't, then you can watch maybe your partner, or maybe partners. You know, maybe we got some people here in Thruples listening and you're like, you know what? Weed out the bad juju. Anyways, what we like to do on the show, we talked about some current events here that's going on in the Lower Mainland. What's going on in wider Canada? What's going on in the world? You know, we listen, this is a global current events pop culture. Sometimes we have some interesting people on here, some artists. Sometimes we just have me. Sometimes my friends are on, because they're also, I'm fortunate enough to have some really smart friends. Sometimes we just have special guests on, you know. They have their own talents. Listen, we talk about the weather. We talk about just things that you need to know as you go on the weekend. It's an educational show. Like when you think about what type of show this is, listen, this is education. It's also motivational. It's also a music show, because listen, you get to hear new music as well. We try to do it all for you. This week, let's just jump right into the weather. Normally we take a break, but you know, I'm concerned about you all. I was concerned about me this week. Started off great. Remember last weekend when it was sunny? That was beautiful. And then it's almost back to like we haven't seen the sun in a few days. I feel like in 2 days. What was that? What's today? Thursday. See, even me, I know that I do this show on Thursdays. I have to think, it's Thursday, and then I have to count backwards to see what day it was. Monday was pretty nice. Too bad we won't see another one of those for a few days. It's going to rain today, rain tomorrow. Saturday, partially cloudy, but could be kind of sunny. And then it's going to rain throughout the next 2 weeks. Listen, so if you put away your rain jacket and your boots and you're like, you know what, I won't have to deal with those for a few more months, well, you know what? That was dumb, and you got to bring them back. But I wonder if anybody's doing anything cool for the leap year. I remember growing up and being so excited. You know, you had like three of them when you were in school. There was the great 96 leap year. Remember that one? Remember that one, guys? Or the 2000? That was a great leap year. It's like I hated the leap year, to be honest. All I remember was feeling like it added an extra day of school. And nothing made 10-year-old me more mad than being in school for one more day in February. And February is a long month. It's the day, it's the month with Valentine's Day in it. And the way I grew up was traumatizing. Anyways, let's not talk about me. And, you know, everybody's got a strenuous relationship with Valentine's Day, except for Kobe Bryant, apparently. I don't know. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. But watching Vanessa speak about their relationship on Monday was, one, very tough. So if you didn't know, let's back up a little bit. If you didn't know, Kobe Bryant died last month. And they held a memorial for him on Monday at the Staples Center. And it looked like every famous black person I've ever met, I mean, ever not met, ever seen on TV, was in a building. And it was just something very interesting about, you know, looking at all of these people that Kobe Bryant's life touched and people who need to be there. But one of the, obviously, main players in his life was his wife, Vanessa Bryant. She talked about all the things that Kobe Bryant did, all the things that made him special to her. And one of the things, she said he never left the toilet seat down. Now, I feel like if she says that out loud, that means he never, ever did. Like, he made a point to never do that. Never left it up. And I think that was amazing. Also, he bought her the dress from the movie, The Notebook. Now, I've heard about this movie, The Notebook. And when you start doing making Valentine's Day gifts like that, and, you know, and talking about it on national TV, and I felt, and I wasn't alone on this. I have friends who agree, or friends who brought it to my attention, actually, that it made us other men feel just a little inadequate, because this man, Kobe Bryant, was on the next level, and not just basketball and lots of other shit. So, nothing else to say about that, but obviously his relationship to Valentine's Day is a little different. Moving on, we're going to play a few songs. When we get back, we're going to talk about what's going on here in BC. There's lots of news and information that you need to know. There's lots of things going on. And not only is there lots of things going on, there's lots of things that you can do something about. Like take part in the Vancouver Homeless Count. It is, you know, I'll talk about it when we get back. Stay tuned.
Shadow, trying to escape. We moved to bitch that you were saying.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. Don't call in with any bullshit, though. Not that you guys do. I just feel like that has to just be a disclaimer. Because we all know people who do it, you know? People who are bullshitters. Anyways. First off, before we get into like what's going on in Vancouver news, you should take part in the Vancouver homeless like census. I don't like that they call it the Vancouver homeless count, but that's how you Google it. That's how you would find it on the Metro Vancouver's website. It's a census basically that you go around and you do a bit of qualitative research yourself around the homeless here in Vancouver, and what it does is it helps the city and the cities around Vancouver in the metro area to really provide services to the people who are down and out on their luck. And so it's very interesting. So I went to this training yesterday where we basically go over basically how to take the survey, how do you talk to people, how do you You know, how do you talk to people? How do you, what do you say? How do you give the survey, pretty much? And it's very interesting to be in there. You know, first of all, you guys know I'm a qualitative researcher. That's my profession. But so people in there who are not researchers and so trying to understand some of the questions that they ask. You know, and I really felt personally like there was a large percentage of people in there who, you know, really looked at it as like us and them. You know, they when they ask the questions are like, well, what about if we ask them this or we ask, you know, can we wake them up? Can we, you know, ask the stupid shit like that? When we've talked about on this show before, just how, one, this is just, it's just one city, you know, like that. There's not us and them. It's like we're all residents of Vancouver metro area, and a lot, and we talk about how much of our esteem about, you know, living in Vancouver is about being living in this clean, you know, like pristine, you know, city on the ocean, you know, that has great amenities and it has, you know, and it treats people well, and we, you know, we there's like living here, you have to like, you're buying into this dream. And that's not how it is for everybody who lives here. And one, those people are a part of the city, but also those people help to create and maintain the city that we do love. So when talking about, you know, people who are homeless, but they also contribute to society in other ways, you know, like selling the cans, you know, picking up cans and selling them, you know, like that they are a vital part of the city, because without them, the city doesn't look how it looks, you know? It doesn't, it's not as clean. It doesn't, you know, there's trash in the street. There's things that these people do that make our city the way it is. And so I feel like, you know, when thinking about being a part of this program, it's really about how can we lift everybody in the city, not, you know, so much how can we count the homeless. And so I wish it would have been framed differently, and I wish it was communicated to the people. But so you listen to the show, and so you want to be a part of that. One, they have more trainings. You have a training today and another training tomorrow, so you can go just check it out. Just go on Vancouver Homeless Count in your Google, and you can find out where the training is today and how to be a part of it. And not only, I mean, like, listen, there's never enough people for volunteering. And I know that you're itching to do something for the people, because it's February and December was so long ago, the last time you gave some clothes or you gave some of your time. So try to do that more periodically and not just wait until December comes around, because there's people who need you. Anyways, moving on. So there's lots of things going on here in Vancouver all the time. Kristen Olsen is a registered sex offender who tried to cut off his ankle monitor, and he was arrested. Don't worry. We always talk about these people when I see them pop up on the news, because people who are high risk to commit another sex offense are the high risk for a reason. You know, that's dangerous. So you should be watching out for that. Anyways, you can go on CVC or the Sex Offender Registry to see all the people in your area and make sure that you and your loved ones are safe. Now, there's like a lot of stuff going on here in Vancouver. There's so many things that are like written on the news or, you know, in the paper, and you're like, what? Like, is that like, that seems so very obvious. Or you're like, you know what? I don't feel bad about that situation. And that happens to me a lot, because while I took Strength Finders a few times. And if you don't know what Strength Finders is, it's like a test that they might give you at work to really try to understand, you know, what are your strengths and what are your not so strengths. You know, like that, they don't like to call them weaknesses. They're like, you know, the things you can improve upon, but they're really just weaknesses. And consistently, I score low in empathy, but I score high in, I'm a relator. So, like, I don't feel the feelings, but I understand them. And that's how I like to explain it. Here, you know, when we talk about the dominating news, is the news issues in Vancouver, you know, we talk about homelessness, housing, weed, drugs, pipeline, and accidental deaths is, you know, one of my favorite ones. Typically, normally, when they happen at the hands or the paws of an animal, you know, like that. Like, listen, we are about the resistance here on Off the Beaten Path. And if you're not down with the resistance, you should just turn the radio off right now, because that's what this show is. The show is about the resistance. And so in that resistance, we need all hands on deck. We also need people with common sense. Like, I don't like talking about these things, but, you know, like, I just wish people were just a little bit smarter. Like, just like, you know, nobody deserves to die, or nobody should, people should die. Everybody's going to die. We all should die, hopefully. You know, I wouldn't want to live forever on this rock. I'm rooting for the coronavirus. But in Stanley Park, a 26-year-old man hopped the fence and slipped and fell 70 meters and died. And there's a reason why there's a fence on Prospect Park. Like, listen, if you're listening to the show, you are obviously alive. And I want you to stay that way. Like, that's what I want you to do. I want you to stay alive as long as you want to be alive. And then maybe a little bit longer. You know what I mean? And so there was a man, 26-year-old man, a tourist from Alberta, and he climbed over the fence at Prospect Park. Now, one of these things, we talked about this, or I have talked about this, you know, in men do stupid things. Usually, I think we talked about this last week, 100%, or maybe the week before. We talked about, like, men are doing dumbass stuff to impress other dumbass men, you know, or... And it's, what's the point? You know, like, I've been in Stanley Park a lot of times. There's literally nothing on the other side of the fence that gives you a better view, or you're going to get a better picture from Prospect Point. It's just pretty much like, stop doing these things. Like, I have a hard time, like, with sympathy. So there's a man, we might talk about it, we might not, who died in his Tesla. He was playing a game, and he had it on autopilot, and he was like, he was for sure never thought he was going to die, because he's like, he just trusted the technology. Now, I think that that is unfortunate, that he trusted technology enough in the autopilot to play a game on his phone, and he died because of it. That's sad. This is just as sad, but this man jumped over the railing. Listen, if you jump over the railing, just don't do it. A lot of the times, this is what I've learned. So this, in my experience, going to parks and things all over, the United States has a lot of fences, a lot of parks with a lot of fences. And you're like, you know what? Those fences look stupid. And I say that they are, because in America, they make fences for the lowest common denominator. And I don't know the math on this, but I feel like Americans are stupider than Canadians, just on a whole. And I feel like, you know, maybe that's just because Canada has less people. So, you know, they can afford to, they can clearly afford to give their citizens better health care. So maybe they have better education. Just so, like, I found that a lot of parks here in Vancouver or in other places in Canada I've been don't have that many fences. Don't have fences where I think that there should be fences, because people know not to do it. But in America, they have fences. So, like, if America, you want to jump over a fence, it's like, well, this fence is merely a suggestion, because they don't trust people to actually make a good decision. And here, it's like, people are making good decisions. So this fence is absolutely necessary. And so when I look at the fence in Stanley Park, I'm like, you know what? This is as close as I want to get, because I can see that it's a drop on the other side. But anyways, this guy didn't, and he suffered for it. So rest in peace to this man. Stop climbing the fences. And so I say that you should be allowed to live only as long as you want to live, because there are some places, like, you know, hospice centers, where you can elect to be eased into your transitioning, which I think is for people who are suffering those circumstances, and that's the path that they want to take. They should definitely be allowed to. But however, there is a hospice in Delta, the Delta Hospice Society, that it basically has chosen to fire all of its staff and close down because they do not want to let people die. The hospice center basically lost 95% of its funding because they voted not to provide medical assistance in dying. And so I feel like you operate a hospice center and you are on the board of a hospice center, it is, one, if you're looking out for the people living in the hospice center, you're basically choosing to close your doors because you have decided that you don't want to allow people the right to die, which is seems so crazy, because this is a hospice center. And listen, I didn't know, really understand what hospice was until about 10 years ago when I had a family friend who was admitted to hospice, and I was like, oh, like, hospice is like where you go to die, you know, and it's like a sad, and I don't know if you've ever been in one, but it does, you know, like, there's nothing about it that is, it's just a sad place. And I can only, I mean, and that's just me visiting, and I get to leave, you know, like that, there's people who get admitted to hospice centers don't get to leave. And so, the only thing, the only decisions they have is to leave on their time. And so to vote against that seems so whack. And it makes me wonder, like, what other types of poor decisions that these people have made, especially when they're not the ones in the hospice center. Like, I feel like that should be left up to the person who's dying, 100%. But, you know, what do I know? Anyways, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the coronavirus and why you should or should not be worried. Let me get back. Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487 at 604-UBC-CITR. And so, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but people are starting to freak out about the coronavirus. I don't forget what type of term they use on the internet. It's like CDVC-19. It's the exact strain. And this week, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not freaking out that much. They put Mike Pence in ahead of the coronavirus's response in the United States. And this guy doesn't even believe in science. So like if the people in charge, now it's really hard because you're like, okay, look who's in charge. Those people don't make good decisions. Those people are stupid. Like, if you had any faith, if you thought these people could make any type of decision, and they put Mike Pence in front of coronavirus, you'd be just like, oh, they don't take coronavirus very seriously because this guy is an idiot. In his state, when he was the governor of Indiana, they had an HIV epidemic simply because he just like refused to believe the medical professionals in his state and nationally. And so you're like, well, They got to know that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they can't just ignore that. So putting him in charge of the coronavirus, you're like, well, listen, either we're like really, really screwed, or we're going to be okay. Because like, either they think he can do it, which means either it's a problem and they think he can handle it, which means we're going to die. We're all going to die. Or they're like, it's not a problem. And Mike Pence doesn't know what he's doing. But it doesn't matter because it's not a problem, you know? And so I guess it's like whichever side of the aisle that you're on, you're either in we're going to die or we're going to be all right. And I feel like we're going to be all right because I'm totally fine either way it goes. Like, they say this coronavirus is not that bad. It's not killing anybody. It doesn't really, you just really like a really bad flu. It doesn't, it's only, it's barely killing old people, and it's definitely not killing young, you know, young, healthy people. But also, I'm like, maybe like human beings just shouldn't even just be here. You know what I mean? Like, I think about that all the time. I'm like, you know, we might have outlasted ourselves, maybe even outlasted ourselves a little too long, you know. When you like really take a step back and you look at just what type of I don't want to say just what type of species we are, you know what I mean? What type of animal we are. We're not very good. We're not good to the earth. We're not good to Mother Nature. We're not good to each other. It's horrible. What are we good for? You know? Making cell phones. Doesn't make any sense. So if this coronavirus moves to take people out, I feel like it should just do all of us. Anyways, here in Vancouver, what we have seen is it sparked, there's like an underlying, I don't want to say underlying, because I say underlying because it's not directed towards me, but people here are racist towards Chinese people. And in a way that people feel like it's okay to say things out loud. And one thing about racism, you have to remind people that, listen, you're not about to say that shit around me. And if it's not good enough to just not agree, but listen, if people say racist shit around you and you don't say anything about it, it's because that they know that you're a racist too. So you should need to be able to feel comfortable speaking up. But we have seen some realtors here in BC make some questionable statements at best. Like, I don't understand if you, like, there's things I don't understand. You're a realtor in BC. You know, there's a chance, there's high likelihood that some of your customers are going to be Chinese, whether they are from mainland China or they're Canadians. You know what I mean? Like, they have Chinese descent. And so, or just people who don't agree with your racism, you know? And so if you're a realtor, why would you put something on your Instagram, on your public Instagram, that is racist? That's stupid. I'm not even going to say or read some of these memes or things, but your racial jokes aren't funny, and stop posting them on your public Instagram. It's dumb. Kristen Marble and Jeff Marble, it's not smart. You can find their Instagrams, or maybe you can shame them, because I know yesterday was anti-bullying day, but sometimes bullying works. Now, you might disagree, and if you do, you're welcome to call in, but I used to get bullied. I feel like I could say that, you know, confidently. You know, I used to get bullied, and you know what? You got to bully back, you know? You know, you just can't let people push you all over. And sometimes there's nobody who's going to help you except for yourself. And so shame people who are bullying because it's called reverse bullying. It's two-time. They cancel each other out. When, well, I just got a message from, side note. How do you guys feel about messages from work outside of office hours? Now, for me, it's like, how do you know if I'm not asleep right now? Or it just gives me anxiety. Like, I have a pressure to respond, even though I don't. You know what I mean? Sometimes those things, they really throw me off. I'm not going to lie. Anyways, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about what some people are doing to prepare for doomsday. And did you know how much a park costs to repair? I had no idea.
It's been a whole year, my nigga. Let's not front. It's my year, my nigga. I'm here to fuck up your whole career, my nigga. Don't play dumb, dummy. You know what's the deal, my nigga. A lot of y'all fake flex, nigga. That is not your necklace. And that whip ain't yours, nigga. That's the IRS. I'm bigger than Texas. Me and God text message. Y'all see how easy lying is. It's easy to forget this. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Y'all niggas get no applause. I'm looking like wealth, so mommy want a Minaj. Y'all niggas really hating. Get off my dick and my balls. All y'all niggas ain't worthy. Y'all don't pay dues, y'all niggas pay up and thirsty. You thought you made an anthem, but you just saying you a Fergie. Too many niggas biting, I might need me 10 attorneys. Just cause you bought that vintage Margiela, don't change your flight from Spirit to Delta. Y'all niggas dressed like you just came out the store. I got my groove back like fella, not Stella. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Y'all niggas get no applause. I'm looking like wealth, so mommy want a Minaj. Y'all niggas really hating. Get off my dick and my balls. I got verses on verses, man. This shit could go all day. I got a whip that's blacker than a nigga from Allstate. Count your money up, nigga. Do the mathematics. That's not 200K. That's $20 in your pocket. It's a cold, cold world that we live in. I'm shitting on these niggas. I'm making my mission. The way I kill these niggas, send my ass to prison. I knock a nigga head off, then I'm dipping, splitting. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. 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 Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Y'all niggas get no applause. I'm looking like wealth, so mommy want a Minaj. Y'all niggas really hating. Get off my dick and my balls.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. So now I was just informed. It was, listen, this is the last Thursday in Black History Month. So I was like, listen, I want to shout out a few of my friends who are having fantastic Black History Month. Now, this is not, obviously not everybody, but my friend Cornell and Jessica and my friend Rebecca and Greg, listen, they all have exciting, exciting news this February, and I'm sad I won't be able to make Rebecca and Greg's wedding on Saturday, but I love you both anyways. Well, I love you both, not anyways, you know. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Anyways, listen, there's so much. I'm like, do I talk about doomsday? Do I talk about, you know, how much a park costs? Do I move on to something totally different? I don't know, you know. Listen, without being path, this is just how my mind works. We're just going down, and we see some place, and we're like, you know what? That looks like it leads to somewhere nice, you know. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there is a gene bank in is it Alaska or Antarctica? I don't actually know where they keep it. It's in the Arctic. So they try to keep it a secret where they keep the seeds. And so the Doomsday Vault will welcome its 1,000,000th crop seed variety. So basically, they have crops from all around the world there. just in case something happens and they can reseed the world. And they say just in case, but honestly, if you've ever, I feel like, you know, in our society, in our capitalistic society, what's happening is that they're just trying to kill us slowly and then repopulate the world with all of these crops so that they can, like, build it back the way they want to be, and they can't kill us quickly, you know, so they're doing it slowly over time. It's the long game. And this seed bank is just part of the plan. Now, I was just, I'm always just wondering and about the people who are doomsday preppers. Like, I am not a doomsday prepper, but I still root for doomsday in the same way, you know, as those people. Because I feel like if you're a doomsday prepper, if you're preparing for the doom, you are, like, I joke, but you're actually living and hoping for some type of huge corrective action to happen in the world. And that makes me scared. The same way, like, evangelists are rooting for, they're rooting for Armageddon so that they feel, because they feel like they're going to be the ones who are lifted into, you know, the garden of God's love. And so they're actively rooting and trying to, this is not something I'm making up. There's people who are actively trying to create the conditions in the Bible that have brought on Armageddon, instead of trying to focus on the 8.5 billion people who are on this rock currently. And I think that that is sad and really messed up, because if you are a doomsday prepper, do you actually want to live past the time when everybody else is dead? Like, do people feel like their legacies and last names really mean that much, that they feel like that when 90% of the world and 99% of the world goes, that you feel like that your stock needs to be saved? The level of arrogance in doomsday preppers is actually kind of crazy. But this White Rock mayor wants help from the city to help repair this damaged park. And basically, the rain last month was so heavy that it led to uprooted trees in Ruth Johnson Park. And it did basically damaged the stairs that lead down to the beach. And so I didn't know that to fix broken stairs in the park costs $4 million. Like, I was not aware that parks are out here costing that much money. Like, I didn't know that. And while I appreciate my public parks, knowing how expensive they are, I appreciate them a little bit more. And I feel like you should, too. Go out this Saturday when it's sunny, or even when it's rainy, just be outside. I won't, because it's cold, but you should. Anyways, I feel this woman. There's a 36-year-old woman who was arrested in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, a lot of crazy shit happened in Cleveland. Listen, I don't know how familiar you are with Cleveland, but I am pretty familiar, and just know that wild shit happens in Cleveland, including Saloni Katarpo, who thought that it was prudent to call 911 on her parents because they cut her off her cell phone bill, and she was arrested, as she should be, for being a nuisance. I didn't know how many people are out here walking around and having their parents pay for their cell phone for their whole life. Like, when I turned, I think I was 15, 16. Little story. I turned 15, 16. My family, we had a family cell phone plan that lasted for literally 1 month. That was back when you only had like 100 minutes and 100 text messages. And obviously, it was 100 text messages. Obviously, I went over. I think my bill was over like $100. My mom was like, you know what? You lose. And from that day on, I had to pay for my own cell phone. But there's people out here walking around whose parents have been paying for their cell phone for decades. People out here who still get their parents to pay for their cell phones, Dominique, and that's wild. So I could see the anger of calling the police on your parents when they cut you off. Now, I would never have called the police on my parents in high school because I don't know about you guys, but it wasn't guaranteed that I was going to be there when they got there. So at least that's what that's how the saying goes. Anyways, moving on. There's so many things. This is one thing I was arguing with somebody yesterday. I argue with people all the time. I don't know. If you know me in real life or whether you just know me from here, listen, you probably can make the correct assumption that I like to talk. Not only do I like to talk, but I have strong opinions about things. And sometimes these opinions don't line up, you know, with just how people feel they should. And yesterday, the United States makes lynching a federal hate crime, basically 65 years after Emmett Till. They call it the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. And this law is just a tad late. And when I say a tad late, it's like 125 years late. The legislation passed 410-4 in the House and is now on its way to the White House, where President Trump is anticipated to sign it. Listen, first off, who are the four people who didn't sign it? And two, why do we need an anti-lynching law in 2020? It's like I compared it to getting a law about how you can't ford rivers as you are taking your wagon to the Oregon Trail. You know, like, it's like, yeah, man, this would have been great 70 years ago. You know, I mean, don't get me mistaken, though. You know, people are still getting lynched in a different way. We see it all of the time. Like, I have seen I've seen very obvious situations that have happened in the past like decade that you're like, that is a modern day, that's modern day lynching, where people, you know, and I don't know if you understand like the brutality of lynching. I feel like, you know, while this is Black History Month, and this is I feel like we have separated the months into you know, this is Black History Month and all the rest are White History Month. But listen, this is Black History, and we talk about the brutalities that happen. That is white history, you know, because it's not out here people doing it to themselves. But if you look at, like, the brutality of slavery and the lives of people post-slavery, the conditions that they had to live under and the fears and terrorism that they had to endure, and that people were okay with, you begin to understand that, yeah, this law is necessary, and in 2020, it's necessary to have on the books just to acknowledge that this cruel history took place. But you can't even have an Emmett Till memorial sign, you know, at the place where he was drowned, beaten, and hanged, because white people keep shooting the sign up into making it unreadable. And it's sick. So, like, but if you look up the history of lynchings, then you go to see, you know, just how they were advertised in the newspaper and how people talked about the people who were committing, you know, who were committing the quote crimes, or the people who were actually committing the crimes, the mobs that took place, the place where people brought their kids and they brought food to watch someone hang. It's sick. And so you probably should read up on that. It is a awful part of this history, but also you're like, whoever voted no, F you. I feel like that's just simple. We'll get those names for you next week so we can shame them forever. An interesting turn of hide and go seek. So a man died in a suitcase. Now, this is what one thing I didn't know. You can suffocate inside of a suitcase. So if you're playing hide and go seek, it's not a great spot. A man and his girlfriend, Sarah Boone, said that her and her boyfriend were drunk playing hide and go seek, and he died in the suitcase. So she said that she said that he thought it would be funny to tie himself, to zip himself up in the suitcase and wait for her to find him. And she alleges that she fell asleep because she was drinking, and he died when she tried to open the suitcase. And so while that, you're like, man, that sounds like a tragic story. When you read that this happened in Florida, you know there's some shenanigans that went on. So what happened is that there's footage of Sarah talking on the phone where she can be heard saying, that's what it feels like when you cheat on me. That's what it feels like when you choke me for everything you've done to me. F you, stupid. And now I don't want to say that I'm glad at her, but I'm not mad at her, because I feel like when you particularly are in a vulnerable position and someone has abused you in the past, letting them crawl into a suitcase and die if you can see my hands, they went up like in that Oprah gif, you know, it's like, well, you know, things happen. Anyways, now, when things don't happen, things that haven't happened, we talked about the terrorism that black people have experienced in the United States here and in Canada as well. And one of those most recent cases were Dylan Roof. I don't know if you guys remember, in 2015, he ran into a South Carolina church and killed 9 of the church members. And now he's complaining about his prison conditions. Now, I'm surprised that this man is alive still 4 years later. I feel like there was one thing. I mean, he's sentenced to death. And so I just don't understand why these things take so long. Like, I feel like one of the reasons why I don't believe that the death sentence is like an effective punishment, like I don't feel like it should exist because I don't feel like it's an effective punishment, is because it takes so long from the time that someone committed a crime for them to be put to death. Like, I feel like this case is pretty open and shut. And now he gets airtime talking about he's on a hunger strike because he's complaining about the prison conditions. And I feel like we can collectively say that we, as a unit, as a group, don't care what type of conditions that Dylan Roof is in. This is a show that believes, you know, he deserves the worst. Anyways, that is it. That's all we have for you this week. Listen, we'll be back next week. Next week it will be March. So march your ass to the radio and tune in. I'm out. Have a great week, guys.